Well, we're continuing our summer sermon series called Big Questions. Next week, we'll take a look at the question of when will the world end and preview. I don't have a date or time. And then the next week, we will take a look at the question, does prayer work? Today, we are taking a look at the question, does God love or hate America? Originally, the question was just, does God love America? But then I learned that some people within the United States don't like America. So we're asking this question. And there are some in America that claim that the U.S. is God's favorite country, that God loves this country, and that God uses it for his good. They oftentimes point to our prosperity, our strength, and our freedom as a sign of God's favor. And then there are some in America that claim that God hates us, that we have turned our back on God, and that we are under God's judgment and being punished. Westboro Baptist Church is one that comes to mind, but there are others. So the question is, does God love or hate America? I believe that the answer to those questions are no and no. God neither loves nor hates America. So let's take a look at today's scripture. It comes from the book of Acts. It's chapter 10, verses 34 and 38. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how we went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Here Peter says that God shows no partiality. But then in every nation, those that fear God and try to do what God is asking them to do are acceptable to him. Now, the word that we see here as fear does not mean afraid of. It means revere, respect. So when we read that word about a God-fearing person, it's not that we are afraid of God, it's that we respect God for who God is, for what God is. Peter goes on to tell us that Christ came for everyone, not just Israel. And when we read here Israel, we're not talking the nation Israel, we are talking the people, the Jewish people. I mean, the truth of it is that God's view of the world is very, very different than ours. We see a tiny bit of the world. God sees it all. We look around and we see states and nations and different races and different people. God, in all of his infiniteness, looks down upon us and sees the children that he loves. I can only imagine how he just shakes his head at his children and the things that we are about. So why has America become such a powerful nation, if God is not for us, blessing us as a nation? I think that the answer lies in the way that our founders approached the founding of this country. We said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, really people, are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America's done a lot of good things. America's made a lot of mistakes. We've done some things wrong, some things that were hurtful and hateful. We've done a lot of things right. I think Ronald Reagan maybe said it best in one of his speeches when he answered this question by saying, "Here in this land, we unleash the energy and individual genius of people to a greater extent than has ever been done before. The freedom and dignity of the individual have never been more assured here than any other place on earth." I mean, I think that's the magic of America, is that the individual is freed to worship as they choose, to not worship as they choose, and to follow their own path, their own dream. Our founding fathers knew that God had a place, that there was a place for God in the lives of the people of the United States, and that there was a place for God in the nation. I mean, it's evidenced by the First Amendment and the freedom to worship as we will. "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion in prohibiting the free exercise thereof." I think our forefathers were so wise in creating that freedom to worship or not worship. I think that freedom is a big part of what makes America great. You know, for a good part of our nation's history, a large number of people feared God and did what was right. We had a critical mass of people that were trying to follow God's law, or at least said they tried. That's not the case. I mean, there was a point at which we were a Christian nation, and we are that no longer. Some people will tell you that the greatest mission field in the world is the United States of America, for those that are talking about the Christian faith. In a real sense, as a nation, we reap what we sow. I would argue that for now, we've lost that critical mass of God-fearing people. For example, for fear of offending people, we have removed God from our public schools. Throughout the country, our public schools are a mess. I don't think this is God punishing us. I think we're reaping what we've sown. We kind of look at the casual nature in which Americans approach sex. Our unwed mother rate is over 40%, creating millions of fatherless children, to which we are just really now beginning to understand what all that might mean for them and for our society. Again, this is not a punishment. This is reaping what we sow. Paul writes in the book of Galatians this: "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith." I believe that as a people, as a nation, we reap what we sow. If we sow love, then we reap good things. If we sow hate, what we reap are sorrowful things. God does not love America or Russia or Afghanistan or even Australia, although it's a pretty cool country. The truth of it is, God loves you. God loves his children. God loves his children so much that he climbed into the womb of a woman to be born a human and to die in the shame of the cross that we, his children, might be forgiven. God loves all his children. He wants all of his children to experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Aren't we the lucky ones to live in a nation where we can practice it freely, without fear, without fear of persecution or even death, for uttering the words, "Jesus is Lord"? God loves you so much. Whether you're American, Ukraine, German, doesn't matter. We are all his children, and he loves us all. So as a follower of Jesus, it is up to us to go and to spread that good news. God loves you. Period. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter who you are. God loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. That's the good news for us on this 4th of July. Well, it's the 3rd, but almost 4th of July. God loves you. And we can share that news freely, without fear. It's a privilege that we as Americans have. Don't waste it, brothers and sisters. You have the freedom to go out and tell the world that God loves you. Don't disregard that freedom that you have. Let us pray. Gracious God, write on our hearts God's great love for us, for all his children. Help us to make use of the privilege that we have to worship you freely, to share that good news, that God loves us, that God is with us, that God is for us. Make us bold in your name. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.